Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We are working through this book, Seven Ways to Choose Healing by Stephen Arterburn, and we've been discussing the third point. We discussed connecting in your life and then feeling in your life, and investigating your life is where we're at right now. And we're talking about grieving. And our scripture today is, "Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." John 16:20. What a wonderful promise. And if you've lived any time at all, like I have, you will have experienced loss. And it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough. So we're talking about the grieving process. And in the grieving, it eventually sets you free. So what you do is you trade your losses for the right to have a joyful future, a new beginning. And with people, you need to do this too. You can forgive, and then you can have a new beginning in the relationship. And you might have to do it quite often. Trade your disconnection for learning to connect to others. And of course, we're all flawed human beings. So when you connect to others, you're bound to meet disappointment. But that's where all the other skills that you are practicing come into play. Trade dependency on yourself for absolute trust in God. And you know, selfishness is a big flaw with those of us who need to choose healing, because we just have a hard time admitting that we need others and we need God. Trade your feelings of inadequacy for the chance to learn wisdom. Trade your protected world for a fuller life with others. And trade your old life for a new life. With all of these trades, you will begin to discover the person God meant you to be. No more posing is necessary. You don't have to keep that facade. You can present yourself to others as the person you really are. You are a unique person, specially loved by God. That is the you who is free to live. Fall into the arms of God as you grieve. Express your feelings to Him. Ask Him for the power to persevere through your grief. Take the time out to let go of your past hurts by grieving for them. Continue making each of the seven choices, and you will heal your future. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another opportunity to glorify your name. I pray for a family who is suffering from COVID, and just send your healing hand upon their father. And I pray for another family that has cancer in their family. I pray for healing there. Lord, we just praise you for your continued blessings on our lives. And we ask that you be with our show today and the words that we speak, that they be your words. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So we're talking about the new year, and I had a new appreciation for how important the new year was in when I went to Taiwan, because the Lunar New Year is the most important holiday, I think, in China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Korea, Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam, and other Asian countries. So I put on the Pinterest site a few things that I have collected for the Lunar New Year. And with this arts and crafts project, you could talk about what is the difference between a calendar new year and a lunar new year. So there's a lot of science that you could connect with it, and you could just have a lot of fun learning. Oh, and I want to remind you, my Pinterest call letters are MRGamblin2. That's the number 2, MRGamblin2. So if you go there, you'll find them in the Family Fun Craft board. Curriculum Corner. Well, we've been talking about reset, and every so often you need to do a reset. It's coined orientation in my school, and whenever there's a new student, we do orientation. Whenever there is has been a holiday, we go through orientation again. And it just helps remind the students that we're still all on the same page. We have the same goals. We're going to be respectful of God. We're going to be respectful of each other. And we're going to be respectful of ourselves. So today I want to talk about what respect for God. So if you are going to talk about a reset in general, and maybe you would go through this even before you did your have your students do your posters, because you could say, I want you to look at respect for God, respect for others, and respect for yourself. And I would like you to frame what that looks like for you on your poster. So older students then might write something like, well, respect for God, I will not take God's name in vain. And I will, you know, honor my parents because that God has told me to do that. So I'm going to try to follow the directions the first time they're given and maybe check first. You know, hopefully all of these rules you've been reviewing just from a family's point of view. But I can assure you that families don't do these resets, but they should. So today let's talk about how these rules really look. Number one, respect for God. Kind of touched on that. Respect for others. So we don't just go into someone else's space. So we mind our own space. We don't damage or hurt other people's property. We think before we speak, or we think before we act. And so these kinds of things, when you go to do your student poster rules, can incorporate how not only how they're going to treat you as a teacher, but how they're going to treat others. And I will talk about the last one, respect yourself. I'll talk about that in the next show, because that one really is an important rule that we often overlook. Questions parents ask. We've been working through, we've been talking about practice patience and be curious with your emerging adult and acknowledge facts, set boundaries, things that they just will have to do as long as they live under your house, like the house rules, but get ownership, have them get ownership. In other words, their requirement to be in is not probably the same as your 10-year-old's, but there still should be some kind of curfew or some kind of requirement that they let you know where they're at. And then we talked about accepting them. And today we're going to talk about do your own work. And if we have time, we'll get through the last one. Do your own work. So what does do your own work mean? Well, it's just like what we've been talking about during our devotional time. As we go through life, all of these landmarks, like when we get married, when we give birth to a child, and then when a child leaves the nest, they bring up old memories, they bring up old hurts, and they can bring up unhealthy responses. So we may be overreacting to certain things that really aren't that big of a deal, or we may be internalizing our grief rather than handling it in a healthy way. So we need to do our own work. We need to really reflect. And often with that reflection comes a sense of missed opportunities and sadness with that child that's emerging into adulthood. And that needs to be acknowledged. And we need to accept that of ourselves. At the same time, when you fail to do your own work, and you just try to live vicariously through that emerging adult, you can do irreparable damage to your relationship with them. And that's what you want to avoid at all costs. Even if you think they're going off a cliff, because sometimes they are, You want to always be open. I love you. I love you. I love you to the moon and back. It doesn't matter what you have done or what you have said. I love you. And keep that relationship strong. And then the last one is get your own life. Now, for me, it meant going back to school because I just love school. I could have been a professional student if that had been the Lord's will for my life. So I went back to school. For you, it may be getting into a hobby or writing a book. Maybe it's redecorating your house or remodeling something or doing some yard work or planting that garden you've always wanted. Get on with your own life. You have launched that adult. They're getting on with their lives, and there's something very healthy and satisfying for that young adult if they can see that mom and dad are okay with them, and they trust them, and they're getting on with their own lives. And it just is very rewarding too, to know that God loves and cares for that young adult more than you do.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. mrgmediaministries.com.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
In my relationship with God, sometimes I feel close to Him, sometimes far away. Sometimes I want to know Him, and other times I could care less. Is this normal? What can I do to stay close to Jesus?
Is it normal? Yes. Is it something we should just ignore? No way. We must fight to stay connected to our Heavenly Father at every moment. Why? Because any feeling that draws us away from God has been placed in our mind by the devil. A friendship with God isn't supposed to be a constant high. Jesus cried, experienced deep concern, felt inadequate, weathered loneliness, all of the emotions with which we cope. But his faith was strong. You see, faith isn't a feeling. It's a piece of knowledge we hold firmly in our minds. Faith says, no matter how I feel, I know Jesus loves me. I know I'm valuable to Him. I know He will save me. Then when we feel far away or find ourselves not caring, we can rely on our faith to remind us that these are only feelings I'm experiencing. I do care. I'm not far away. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413 Smithsburg, Maryland 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162. Thank you for staying with us for the second part of our interview. Let's take up where we left off yesterday. Welcome back. You know, I love this topic of hope, because I recognize that when you feel that despair, it is so hard to even function. And do you think that that creative mind has that struggle with despair or depression more than maybe us average folks that
Well, you're not average, Rose. You know that. Don't say us average. Come on now. I think I hear what you're saying. The creative mind, I will add to that the heart-driven person, somebody that is the feeling person, which I am, like, all feeling, you know? And that can make life really overwhelming. It can make life very heavy. There are some people that seem to be able to kind of go through life and everything's fine, you know? But there is something about being a creative person, a heart-driven person, an artist, even people that maybe of a more higher intelligence, that leads people to addiction. Because there's this feeling of I've gotta have a respite from all this stirring in my head. I've got too many apps running in my background. You know what I mean? It's like you just gotta close some of them somehow. So yes, it is. I totally agree that it is more difficult. But one thing that I've thought about in the midst of, I can be very self-analyzing in the midst of my despair.
Well, let's call it reflective.
There you go. Perfect. I can be very reflective. And when I feel hopeless, it's almost as if I'm thinking I can see the future. Because I'm saying, well, it's always been this way, and it's always going to be this way. You know, like my despair says it's not going to get any better. Now, that's not rooted in any kind of logic or reality. So to me, this is just a weird way to say it, but hope can't see the future. I can't see the future. And so I say, you know what? I can't see what's going to happen. But because God loves me, I know it's going to be something good. My despair doesn't even have time for that.
Amen. So let's talk about your devotional, Live Hope Minute. Correct? Did I say that right?
Yes.
So what prompted you to do a devotional?
Yeah.
Most everything's been CDs.
Correct.
These one-minute shows.
Yeah. You know what? After I did the CDs and started doing the concerts and started wanting to develop more resources for people and give myself more assignments, that's when I started doing the one-minute daily radio show feature, just to have an opportunity to connect with people on a real heart level when they're listening to the radio and give them a burst of inspiration. But I know that things that I hear on the radio can really go in and out the other ear really quickly, or just you're like, oh, that's nice, but you don't stop. And so that's where the desire to give something that might be a little bit more personal, and that's why we decided to print out some of these devotionals into this beautiful book. I'm so proud of how it turned out. It feels like the cover, it feels really good. It's all embossed and things like that. And
you could give it as a gift. It would be a great gift.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're giving a gift of hope. How great is that?
Absolutely. And can I tell you something? I was thinking on the way over here. I'm so glad you said that. My publisher probably won't like this, but if people want to get this book off of livehopenow.com, my website, and if they use the code NRB, which is where we're at right now, just type in the coupon code NRB, the letters, I'm going to give you a free one so that you can give it to a friend, all right?
Yeah.
I know that's crazy, and I'm not going to make any money, but whatever, you know, I want people to have it. So just go to livehopenow.com, you can order your own devotional, and then type in the code NRB, and I'll give you an extra free one.
Amen.
Is that okay?
Right. You know, there's something about when you recognize the free gifts that God has given you in hope, forgiveness, love, you want to do the same for others.
Absolutely.
It's just, it's a wonderful phenomena.
Absolutely.
So what is the biggest obstacle you think today for someone to know hope? What are the big, you know, there might be more than one. What are the biggest obstacles?
I would say the biggest obstacle to knowing hope is our feelings. Because for me, I've lived most of my life just trying to appease my feelings. And that has nothing to do with the hope that's found in the gospel of Jesus. I wish that it did. I wish that my faith in Jesus would make all my feelings good. But it hasn't. And so I can either live by my feelings and say, God, why aren't you changing my feelings? Or I can say, God, you're wanting me to look at my life from a different perspective that is not driven by my feelings. Because we all know our feelings can drive us to do the craziest things, you know? And so I think feelings are really good in how we interact and we can show compassion to people. It can also be very negative. So I've got to keep my feelings in check.
Yes.
But to know hope, I have to know a hope that's rooted in something outside of my feelings or my emotions.
And I just realized that my younger sister, 10 years younger than me, passed away. And I was very sad and grief, you know, in the deep grieving part of my life. And I'm going, but I do have this hope. You know, I have this precious hope of eternity. I know she was saved. I have this hope. So why am I so sad?
Because you loved her so much, Rose.
I did.
I'm so glad that you were sad.
But I actually started talking to myself and saying, you know, you have a job to do. Students are waiting for you. You have other members of the family that need you. You have a husband that needs you. And even though those feelings were very intense, I think you're absolutely right. There's at some point, especially as you mature, I don't know that I could have done it as a child or...
Or in the 20s even.
Yeah.
You know,
looking back and seeing the bigger picture, it has been so helpful to give yourself messages.
Yes.
To talk to yourself.
Yes.
You know,
I like to think about it in terms of reminding myself of what I already believe.
Yeah,
you know, because so I can wake up and I've forgotten everything that I believe, and so that's really important, like you said, to teach yourself, but to remind yourself as well of where your hope is based.
Right. If you go in the scriptures just 4 times a week, the statistics are huge. You'll have less depression. You'll have less obesity. You'll have less addiction.
Amazing.
And so we know there's power there. There is power there. But the decision to do it. And this devotional, just go through how it's laid out.
Yeah.
So what can they expect each
well,
day?
Well, it's a journey into hope, but each day correlates to one of the parts of the equation that I mentioned to you about being grounded in faith, or fueled by hope, or guided by vision. So, you know, one day might be a general, this is what hope is about. Another day might be, this is what it means to be fueled by love. So I've tried to, as you go through the year, wherever you're at in the year, as you go through it, you will grow in a deeper understanding of what it means to be not ruled by feelings, not controlled by emotions, but have your faith grounded in the hope of God. Because, you know, I love in the Bible that part where it says to build your house on a solid foundation so that when the storms come, you'll be steady. I love that the scripture doesn't say, the storms will never come. Once you build your solid foundation, they say, the storms will come, you know?
Yeah.
And so we acknowledge today that these storms are present in many people's lives that are listening right now. But when our foundation is rooted in something strong, like our faith in God and our desire to be fueled by love and the part that we play in building God's kingdom here on earth, no matter what storms come our way, we're going to be solid. That's hope to me.
Yes, and that's a great way to end the show. I'm just looking at today's verse. Share each other's troubles and problems, and so obey our Lord's command, Galatians 6:2. Yes.
We need to do that.
Hopelessness
drives us to isolation. We've got to be brave and escape that isolation. That's when the enemy wins, when we're isolated.
That's right.
You know, we think that we're the only one that's going through this, you know. But you step out and you find someone else that's like, wow, you too?
Yes.
You made a friend and you're able to show compassion and love, and hope suddenly blossoms.
Yes, yes. We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.